Good morning. We are a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. Please take a moment to fill out your connection card and place it in the offering plates so we can know each other and serve you better. Yellow prayer cards are available in the pew racks. If there is something you would like our prayer team to lift in prayer, please place your request in the offering plates. Please take a moment to greet one another in the love of Christ.
Let us raise our voices as one in the opening prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, work within us and between us as we worship here this morning. Let our songs and our prayers set our minds and our hearts on you. Equip us here and send us out to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The children can come forward. How many of you guys have been baptized? Most of you were probably baptized as a baby. In the Methodist Church, you can choose to be baptized at any time in your life. Jesus was baptized as an adult. Today, you will see two people get baptized, and they're not adults or babies, but some of our own confirmands. You will notice our pastor will put holy water on their heads and say, "In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." The water stands for being washed away of our sins and being welcomed into the family of Christ. The others will be invited to lay hands on them and pray for them and welcome them into the church. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to walk in your light and live our lives in faith and love. Amen. Your Sunday school teachers will meet you in the back.
I'd like to bring your attention to our prayer quilts today. Please lift them up in your hearts and prayers. Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Almighty Father, God of grace and hope and love, take these confirmands and make them your disciples so that they may serve you and carry out your duties, so that they will help those in need, and so that they may spread your word like Jesus meant them to. We thank you for everything you have blessed this world with, from the smallest drop of dew to the largest elephant. We give thanks to you for our neighbors, our friends, and our families. Thank you for your guidance through this process of confirmation. Thank you for the confirmants, and thank you for the mentors. We pray that you put kindness, mercy, and love into the hearts of all people on this earth, so that they may show empathy and compassion towards others. Now we will move into a time of self-reflection and silent prayer. Please pray with me now that the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Alex, one of the teens changed by their experience during the Appalachian Service Project, or ASP. Last year was my very first time on this mission trip, and we repaired residential homes in rural Kentucky. This trip gave me a new perspective on how lucky I am to live in such a great town. It also made me feel sad because I couldn't do more for the people there, so I'm looking forward to go back this summer. Today, I'm here to tell you a way you can support the youth going on this year's ASP mission trip while enjoying a delicious meal cooked by Seve Ramos. The ASP team is holding a pancake breakfast on May 11th from 9:15 to 11:15 downstairs in the fellowship hall. I invite those who can attend to come, sit down for a meal, enjoy some fellowship and pancakes. The only cost to you is space in your stomach, but donations to support our trip are truly appreciated. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
We thank you, Jesus, for bringing us peace and showing us a better way to live. Help our ears to stay open to hear the Holy Spirit reminding us of you. Please accept these offerings in love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Jesus replied,
Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Andrew. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So while I should be doing full eye contact, kind of all the way around the room, I'm speaking specifically to the confirmands this morning, and so I'm going to be looking more at them. I've done this in the past, and people have said you never looked at the whole congregation, so I want to just make sure you understand I'm talking to the confirmands. It has been a wonderful journey, and in my part of it, even though we did have a time where it was stumped the pastor, and I ended up being the only pastor there, and I got very difficult questions, and so that was hard, but a lot of questions about hell, which was interesting. So, but this is my opportunity to give you a few words. I don't want to call them last words, but sometimes we think of them as last words. It's like an old joke, and pardon me for everyone who's heard this joke before. There was a church that had a bunch of bats in it, and they tried and tried to get rid of the bats, and they couldn't. How many people know the joke? Okay, yeah, okay, a few people do. So finally, the pastor at Wits End asked around to other pastors, what do you think? Have you ever had bats in the church? What do you do to get rid of them? One pastor said, it's really easy. Just baptize them and confirm them. And so I'm here to say that's not what we do at Brighton First, that instead confirmation is a time to begin. And so I want to talk about Jesus' last words and how we're empowered from this point to begin. Sometimes when we think about Jesus' last words, we go to the cross. And there are like these seven sections of last words, and you know, there are worship services structured around them, and people study them. But when we really want to look at Jesus' last words, what we can do is we can look at his last time with his disciples. On the night before he died, in the Gospel of John, from chapters 14 to 17, are a ton of words. If you got a red-letter Bible, it's all red. And it's Jesus talking to his disciples. Now, some people would say, well, the reason he needed to talk with his disciples is because they never got it. I mean, he kept telling them stuff, and they just, like, do dumb things. I mean, like, they would say on the one hand he was a disciple, or he was the Messiah, and on the other hand, they'd vie for his attention and say, who can be first? Sometimes they would be celebrating that Jesus gave them the power to heal in his name. And on the other hand, while parents were trying to bring children forward to him, they were batting them away saying, no, don't bother Jesus. And so there's this kind of idea that the disciples didn't get it. And so some people might think that in that last few hours that Jesus had with the disciples, that all he was going to do is just pile words on them, hoping that finally they had to get it. But I have to tell you what was really happening was Jesus knew these disciples. He knew that they had walked away from family and their homes and their livelihoods to follow him. They had sacrificed greatly. They were risk takers. And he understood that even with all of that, they had room to grow. And the same is true for us. I want confirmands for you to know that in this sanctuary are people your age and people who are a little bit older and people who are really old. And they all know. I didn't point anyone out. Although my granddaughter recently said I was at the stage of white hair. Thank you. That for you, there is always, always room to grow. People have this idea that somehow the faith is an end point. And so you can get that GPS map thing on your smartphone, or you can have it in your car, and you just set the destination. And once you get to that destination, boom, you put your foot on it, you're done. But for anyone who's been around in the faith for a long time, that's not the truth at all. That we're always growing, always growing in the faith. Here at Brighton First, we think about that we begin, and some of us are exploring. We're still asking, can Jesus Christ be our Savior? Some of us are just beginning accepting Christ as our Savior, but we know we've got more to grow and more to learn about the faith. Some of us are growing Christians. We've been through it. We've done the Bible studies. We've been in church a long, long time, but we know that we're growing too, and there are some who are mature in the faith. They're the saints. Those are people with great wisdom. But even for them, they understand that Christ has more to tell us. So I just want to bring three things to your attention today that come from our scripture. Here they are. First of all, Jesus says that through the Holy Spirit, we can find love and be love for the world. What Jesus says is, if you love me, God will dwell within you. And how will that play out? It will play out in great love, not only for you as individuals, that you can be compassionate and a caring and listening presence in love, but it's the truth for the body of Christ as well. Now, I would love to tell you that the church is perfect, but not even this church that you're joining today is perfect. But the body of Christ, the church, is the best thing we've got to represent God. And we have no idea what your future holds. You may become leaders in a church much like this. You may become leaders in a church that is huge and has thousands of people coming on a Sunday. Or you may be part of a church that is meeting quietly in someone's home, that's changing the world in some singular, profound way. The music you sing, we have no idea what that will be. The way that you hear messages or study together, we don't know. But what we do know is that if you stay with the body of Christ, you stay with the church, you will be shaped and you will be part of the love that goes into the world. Now, Jesus also said that if you follow me, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to remember me. Now, I don't think that always particularly means Christ's words. It might be that you will hear some scripture, but remembering Jesus will come through the love and the grace of other people around you, like your mentors, your confirmation leaders, your parents even, and all of the people around you can help you to remember where Christ has been and where Christ is leading you and giving you purpose. And finally, Jesus says that I will give you peace. My peace I will give to you. Not as the world gives will I give to you. It is a peace that is without understanding. Now, I just want to say this is not a peace that's some kind of sappy, you know, like, oh, now I'm going to sit back in my chair and everything's done and I'm peaceful. And it's not the kind of peace that's like, hey, peace out. You know, it's not like peace, like goodbye. That's kind of the Hebrew tradition. The peace that Jesus offers is a peace that gives you the courage in the midst of difficult situations. It's a kind of peace that allows you to kind of march into places and to say, you know, I know there's always conflict. I know there is war. But I will be a person who speaks truth in love. I will be a person who is courageous, always looking to reconcile and to bring people together rather than to drive them apart. That's the kind of peace that Jesus brings. Jesus had a ton of last words for their disciples. They were not last words because he was going and they would disperse and do whatever they wanted. He wasn't giving them last words so that they would just go back to where they had been. He was giving them last words so that they could put one foot in front of the other in purpose and continue on in a powerful faith. And it is my hope and my prayer for each of you that this is the beginning by God's Holy Spirit. I couldn't help myself as I was thinking today. Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi came to mind. And so I want to just play Obi-Wan Kenobi's last words. Okay, and I'll say them for you after it's done, just so if you don't miss them. But he's in a duel with Darth Vader. It is classic evil against good, the force against the darkness, right? Okay, his last words.
Your power's a weak old man.
You can't win, Darth.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
This is what he says. He says, "You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine." I kind of like to think of Jesus saying that. You know, he's with the disciples, and he is going to his death the next day when he says these words. But what he says is, "You may be able to strike me down, but I will rise again. You may be able to eliminate me from this earth, but I will become more powerful than you can imagine through the people who follow me." Isn't that amazing? That Christ not only rose, but by the Holy Spirit calls all of us as believers to rise up as well. We are equipped by the love of God that is in us and in our community of faith. We are empowered to remember Jesus' words and to take those with us into our lives, because they will give us purpose and meaning and direction. And we are given the courage to bring peace into this world. In our individual battles and conflicts and out into the world, we can change it. And it is such a privilege to be with you nine right here at this beginning. Can I have an amen for that? Amen. Yeah, we are so privileged to be with you. All right, I was just about to baptize without asking the questions we have to ask. So, all right, confirmands. By taking or reaffirming your baptismal vows, we declare that God's grace is working in this world and in our lives. This morning, these young people affirm their faith in Jesus Christ and their commitment to living out God's reign in this world. And so, we ask now these questions of faith.
On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
We also, as a congregation of the United Methodist Church, have responsibility for these young people. And so, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Please respond as printed on the screen.
With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures in the Old and New Testament.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
According to the grace given you, Will all of you confirmands remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will. As members of the United Methodist Church and this congregation, Brighton First, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. All righty. I'm going to offer a prayer over our baptismal water that's here in front of us. And so I invite you into a time of prayer. Lord, let this water be filled with your Spirit. Let it be a reminder to us not only of the waters of freedom crossed by the people of Israel, the waters of creation over which your Spirit hovered, but the waters of birth through Jesus Christ, that he came to be with us and that he himself rose out of baptismal waters to do your will. We ask now your blessing on those who are to be baptized. Amen. Tyler, I invite you to kneel. And Tyler, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I invite family members, and Betty, if you just put your hands right on top of his head, we're going to push down hard so he'll remember this time. Tyler Joseph, being born of the water and the Spirit, may you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Right.
Invite you to stand and face the congregation. Each confirmand has created a stole with symbols of their faith on it. And Greg Geis, who is Tyler's mentor, will be placing that stole on him. Let's welcome Tyler into the community of faith. Seated. And Tyler, if you would go stand over here, you're going to witness the rest of the confirmation.
So the next confirmand will be Jacob.
So Jacob, if you would kneel. This is a pretty special time. Bob Fuchs was appointed for the first time as a United Methodist pastor to our congregation in January, and this is Bob's first baptism. What a privilege to be with Jacob.
Jacob Robert, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if everyone would put their hands on, we're going to press down hard. Jacob Robert, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's welcome Jacob.
And the next confirmand will be Alex. His family and mentor, please come up.
Go ahead and kneel, Alex. The rest of our confirmands have been baptized as infants, and they come forward professing their faith and remembering their baptisms. I invite everyone to lay hands on Alex, so go ahead and just... Alexander Conrad, may the Holy Spirit fill you that being born of the water and the Spirit, you might remember your baptism and be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Stand up and turn and face the congregation. Let's welcome Alex.
And the next confirmand will be Matt. So his mentor and family, please come forward.
Bob will be saying the words of, go ahead and kneel, Matt. Bob will be saying the words of confirmation, but I had the privilege of baptizing Matt a while ago. So,
raise your hands, please. Matthew Gordon Forsyth, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's welcome Matt.
And our next confirmand is Andrew.
Andrew. Let's place hands on Andrew. Andrew Lee Harker, remember your baptism and be thankful. Being born of the water and the Holy Spirit, may you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's welcome Andrew.
And our next confirmand is Macy.
I want to invite Macy's family forward. Oh, my goodness. Here's another retired United Methodist pastor. My, my. Here comes Grandpa Joe Robertson for his granddaughter's confirmation. Joe, would you just put your hand hard right there on Macy's head? All right.
Macy Drew, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's welcome Macy.
And our next confirmand will be Emily, her mentor and family. Please come up.
Emily has her godparents that were with her when she was baptized here today, right here at this church. Emily Grace, remember your baptism and be grateful. The Holy Spirit work within you that having been born of the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's welcome Emily.
And our next confirmand will be Grant's mentor and family.
All right, let's place hands on Grant.
Grant Spaulding, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's welcome Grant.
And our final confirmand is Dylan.
Okay, we're going to reach in. Get ready, Dylan. This is going to be amazing. Okay. Lay hands on Dylan as you're able. And if you can't get in, just touch someone who is. Dylan John, remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's welcome Dylan.
Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to your seats. Let's welcome them one more time.
You go do that. Could you help me?
We are sent out in the power of Christ's resurrection. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.